gathered together from the cosmic reaches of the internet. Here in the basement of the Great Hall of Justice are the most powerful forces for good podcasting ever assembled. This is the DC Superpowers Podcast.
This looks like a job for Superman.
To the Batmobile.
My name is John Jones.
I am the Green Arrow.
Hey, super friends, welcome back to the DC Superpowers Podcast, issue number 42 for New Comic Book Day, February 8th, 2017. I am your host, Ken Rose. Sitting along with me here in the basement of the Hall of Justice is my good buddy, Vern.
Hello, everybody.
Vern, welcome back, man.
Hey, we've got the same guy here that was here last week, sitting in with us, Ty's back.
Our silent producer?
Yes.
In content overwatch? He's going to make sure we don't step over any lines.
He is. As I told him, he's good luck right now.
He's standards and practices.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, you said you just got finished watching TV from this week, huh?
Yeah, I did. Didn't get a chance to read all of the comic books, but I got the ones that had most importance. But, yeah, I just finished everything.
Did you notice something common in most of the TV shows this week? We had cameos from a couple people in different shows in different locations.
Yeah, was there a big cameo actually in Supergirl? Because I know Supergirl appeared in Flash.
Supergirl was in Flash this week?
Mm-hmm. Well, not her.
No, but they were in National City.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Supergirl herself didn't have any cameos that I can remember.
That's what I was trying to think. I can't recall either.
You had Gypsy and Vibe both fighting through the different worlds and actually landed in Jimmy Olsen's office at Catco, then jumped right back through the floor into a lava planet.
Yeah, he's like, you want to play these games? Okay, let's play. I know all the worlds too.
On Legends, you got Stein going back to Central City and picking up his daughter.
Mm-hmm. And then in Arrow
you had the big
part
one
from Central City.
Yeah, you had Captain Singh was actually on it, and
Barry Allen, or Flash, at least.
A Flash blur made a cameo.
How do I know you're the real Arrow? Zoom, zoom, zoom. Okay.
He's legit.
Yep.
But, there was some big developments on a couple of the shows this week, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, Black Canary was the biggest one.
Oh, yeah. There was also a little cameo of a littler-known group that is actually changing who they are on Arrow, too. But let's not bury the lead. Black Canary, we found out. Remember last week, I think it was, we talked about who is this person that's going to be Black Canary.
Right, and there was nothing anywhere saying who she actually was. We were like, maybe she's just a new Black Canary. Maybe she actually is another Canary from the comics that they haven't revealed yet.
Yeah, well, her name was Terry something or other, right?
Yeah. Now, I like how we're like, you know what, that name doesn't matter. We know who you really are.
Yeah, we know she's Black Canary. But we found out that actually she was a detective before she got her powers in Central City 3 years ago when a particle accelerator exploded. Huh. Amazing.
Yeah. Look at that. Screaming, crying.
Exactly.
I figured something like that to happen. I'm like, she's going to be screaming out for something when this particle accelerator hits. And what do you know? She did.
Well, then we find out she was undercover. So everybody knew her undercover name is Terry. But her actual name was Dinah Drake.
Right.
Which,
the original Black Canary.
Exactly. Super Friends, Dinah Drake was the World War II Golden Age Black Canary. Now, she was brought into the modern comics in the late 60s when they had actually retconned and put all of the World War II Golden Age heroes on Earth 2. So she went to Earth 2 with them, was part of the Justice Society for years, until eventually she did come over to Earth 1, and for a while, she and Dinah Lance were both Black Canary, depending on where you were at and what you were reading.
Right.
Kind of like they've done with The Flash, since they brought back Barry Allen and had Wally West at the same time.
Right. There are two Flashes right now, so.
So that was an awesome thing.
Yeah, this was great. I didn't know what they were doing. After she started screaming on the show, I'm like, okay, this is too close. And then her attitude, I'm like, this seems more like the real Black Canary than we had previously.
See, that's the nice thing now. We actually do have a metahuman Black Canary.
This is the way they fixed all the fans, I think, complaints about there not actually being a real metahuman Black Canary, a canary that can actually scream. She doesn't need any modifier or necklace.
Yeah. So, but the other one we had was you find out Felicity, she goes back to the dark web and goes back to her hacker ways to actually try to clear Diggle's name. And she actually throws up a flag to someone who was basically a fangirl for her when she was a hacker back in the day.
And boy, does it like she was looking in a mirror.
Oh, yeah.
Not exactly looks, but they definitely had the same personality.
Well, they were, they call themselves hacktivists, which are hackers that are basically activists on, they want to get across their agenda. And did you catch the name of the group that she's actually working with? Because remember, they were saying her group does this and her group does that?
No, I did not catch the reference to that.
Her group is called Helix. Does that sound familiar at all?
It does sound familiar.
Give me like 10 seconds here to bring it up on the DC Wiki. But Helix is actually a super villain group in DC Comics.
Okay, I'm doing some Google research right now, too.
It is a... There we go. Helix, wow. I don't recognize any of these characters, but...
I remember seeing the guy with the skull.
Mm-hmm. It was Mr. Bones was the name of the guy who actually created all these characters, because they were all... the way I read it on another one, because the wiki didn't bring up any actual information, but Mr. Bones had been experimenting on kids or something and created all these mutant kids, and they end up turning into a supervillain team altogether.
Hmm.
But obviously that's not what this is going to be, but it looks like that's where they're getting the idea, so it's going to be interesting to see where it goes with that.
Mr. Bones. That sounds scary, too.
I'm wondering, was Mr. Bones from that the same Mr. Bones that becomes Director Bones later of the DEO?
You know that, hey, and it says director, no, well, right here it says director of the DEO. A group has since disbanded, and Bones became director of the DEO. So, yeah, I would say your theory is correct.
Okay. See, I figured there could only be one Bones in the universe.
Yeah, well, hey, there you go.
So, and Arrow was awesome, because the whole episode is basically getting Diana Drake, but to join the Arrow team and take up the mantle of Black Canary.
Because he was very skeptical with her even being called Black Canary. Remember when they were saying, hey, we're going to look for this new Black Canary? He's like, no, don't even call her that yet. We don't know what her motive is or what she's about. By the end of it, you've seen, it's like she seems to be, like I said, even better than the Black Canary he knew of.
Yeah. Well, it's good. It's like I said, it's awesome to see that she's there, but did you see the villain in this also, that Sean Sonos?
The real Count Vertigo.
Well, I don't think he was ever called Count Vertigo, but Sean Sonos is a villain from both Green Arrow and Black Canary.
Okay, so he's not Count. I figure he's Count Vertigo the way his powers
were. Yeah, his powers seem very similar to Count Vertigo, but no, he was actually just known as Sean Sonos, as far as I know.
Okay.
But it's nice to see that they're actually pulling Green Arrow villains now.
Yeah, that's what I was happy
to see. For this whole series, we've gotten villains from everybody else. We've gotten Batman villains. We've got Flash villains. All these people working against Arrow.
Yeah, and the way they wrote the characters in there, it fits really well with Green Arrow, but that's not how they originally... That's not their original adversary.
Exactly. But, actually, I have a couple of stories from the other shows, but let's get into Supergirl a little bit, since that started off the week, too. But Supergirl was interesting this week. We get more of Mon-El trying to figure out how to be a superhero. I'm hoping they do something a little better with his costume, because right now he's just in a black suit with tinted
glasses. Yeah, I didn't
like
it. And he got the glasses on.
But we got to see more Livewire.
Yeah, Livewire came back. I thought that was pretty cool.
Livewire is an awesome villain and an awesome like arch villain for Supergirl.
Supergirl. Yeah, it fits her really well. And plus, this felt like if with Batman and Joker.
Yeah.
The way they were even agreeing on things, like, you know, I don't like you, but hey, I'll let you have this one. We'll fight again.
Exactly.
This is what we live for, right?
It also reminded me of the Flash and the Rogues.
And that, too.
Because how many times is the Flash like, you know what? I'll take care of you guys later. Just lay low for a little bit. I'll take care of you later. Let me take care of this, then I'll take care of you.
Right. Like, really? Are you sure about this? I'm only going to give this opportunity once and take it or leave it.
Exactly. So,
Well, I was going to say, I really like Jimmy Olsen in here. The actor is really portraying him very well, being Guardian.
I'm liking him as Guardian. I didn't know if I'd like him as Guardian, but
I would.
It's getting good.
Yeah, it is. The way he stood up to Supergirl, and it's like, dude, you're a human. She has points on here. I know she might be coming off as if she don't believe in you, but her and Mon-El can get shot in the face and they won't die.
Yeah.
If it happens to you, you're dead. So well, I can see where she's trying to be protective, but then again...
But then again, you also got to think, she knows a bunch of humans that are heroes already.
Yes, right. On this,
so it's kind of a hypocritical a little bit, because look at on Earth Prime, all of Arrow's team, none of them have superpowers except for now the new Black Canary. On Flash, they're metahumans, yes, but go to the Legends. Half that Legends team
half
has no
them
powers.
Have powers. Half them don't have powers. Actually, yeah.
And they're taking all the risks. So what's the thing, that if you're one of Supergirl's friends, you're not allowed?
Mm-hmm. I wonder what Superman would probably let Jimmy do it.
I don't know. He wouldn't be happy about it, but he might.
He wouldn't be happy about it. He probably would have a similar reaction to Kara, but I don't think his would be as strong.
Yeah. Well, also, he's been around a lot longer.
True. Honestly, I think when he brought the Mon-El thing, she'd even hit a nerve with her that she doesn't even realize yet.
Probably.
I think that's going to unfold beautifully as the show goes on.
Well, they got to give her a love interest. It's a CW show.
Oh, yeah, they do. So that's how it works with all the shows.
Yeah. But actually, I saw on the somewhere on the net, one of the blogs out there asked the question, what's the chances of possibly seeing Leslie Livewire maybe become a hero at some point in this?
Was she ever a hero in the comics?
I don't think so, but they're kind of sowing the seeds, you know? Let me look this up. If I look it up on Livewire DC.
I think she was all a villain that I know of.
Yeah, I think she was always a villain. But the way DC Comics is going right now,
you never know what you're going to get.
I don't know. She's only been around since 97, so she's a newer villain. She was created for the animated series.
Same as Harley Quinn.
Exactly. But, she's looks like in the comics and everything else, she's only ever been a villain.
Hmm.
Yeah. So it'd be interesting to see if they'd switch it around a little bit. It wouldn't be the first time they've done stuff like that. And look what DC's doing in the comic books right now with, like, Killer Frost. And, well, Lobo's never technically been a villain, really. He's been a tweener the whole time.
He's been an anti... To me, Lobo's always been an anti-hero. I never found him as a villain, never found him as a hero. Just like, I'm a character here doing what I like. Okay.
What are you looking up now?
I thought I saw something. This was from last season.
Oh, okay.
That was something with Supergirl.
But, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. It'd be sweet to see if she actually does become a hero somehow and actually expand the universe.
She's portraying herself as more of a, not evil.
Yeah. Well, the only evil thing she has is she wants to kill Supergirl.
Yeah, I mean, she just has a vendetta against her. She's really not that bad.
Mm-hmm.
Same as even on the animated series. She was bad, but there wasn't too many wrong things I didn't see her doing. Plus, the way she got turned to Livewire, I felt kind of sad for her anyway.
Oh, wow, there's another story here that popped up that...
What you got?
This is one that just... I got to read through this, so it's not that long, but I guess I just brought up comicbook.com because I was looking up something else. It looks like, according to this headline, Greg Berlanti's Black Lightning might move to the CW and join the Arrowverse.
If that happens, I'll be so much more into the show.
Yeah, it says if the move would take place, because right now it's being developed for Fox, but if they pass on it and it moves to the CW, presumably move into the Flarrow universe.
According to
Deadline, Fox passed on the pilot, but the Warner Brothers Television still has faith in the project and started shopping it around immediately after the rejection.
Hmm, okay.
So there's a chance that since they're throwing it around, depends on who picks it up, that might be something to add to the CW.
I would love for that to happen because the one thing that gets me with not really liking what's going on with the Marvel TV shows and movies right now, they're not connected.
Well, they were to start with.
Were they?
Yeah, because how many times have we had stuff from the movies actually, and they had like the fallout on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? I
didn't mean...
But
yeah, I didn't mean so much that. I meant as in how Fox has the mutants and Fantastic Four, but then everything else is with
Marvel. Where it's spread around.
Yeah, and it's just they're not connected. So when I heard that they were making a Black Lightning show, I figured it would be on the CW or somewhere in that universe. And when I found out they weren't, I'm like, okay, well, I'll still give the show a watch, but I'm not as interested as I am because it's not connected. If it is going to be there, we'll probably get something like Supergirl. You might be in a different universe, but... Mm-hmm. You can still. That would be great if they want to even put more shows on like that. Just say, hey, they're in a different world.
Right now, they're running four shows, actually five DC shows, but four at the same time right now.
Or actually
well,
six
no.
now.
I say iZombie's a DC show. Well, no, DC and Vertigo has like 8 shows out there.
Yeah.
Because you got the 4 main ones in the Flareverse.
You have Legion.
Then you got iZombie.
Not Legion, but Lucifer.
Preacher, Lucifer. You forgot about Preacher, didn't you?
No, I didn't.
You got Preacher,
I thought
Lucifer,
you named
Gotham.
That, I was gonna name that one.
So they got a bunch of
shows
out there.
They got a
lot
of shows out with them. They're making some money from that. And we forgot Powerless.
Uh-huh. That actually starts tonight as of recording. So
yeah,
next week we'll have our review of that.
I already seen it. I didn't want to read it, so I'll wait to give my own opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to do that now with things. If I haven't seen it yet, I'm not going to read anything to change my mind on. I'll just go in. If I don't like it, I don't like it. If I like it, I like it. Then I'll read the reviews.
I think as long as it's funny and it is what it's supposed to be, it'll be fun.
Yeah, and it looks like it's supposed to be a fun show anyway, so enjoy it. We've
yeah,
said that before.
As a lot of people have always blamed me that I seem to never not like anything, I don't go and watch something that I don't expect to have a good time with. And for me, I don't have extremely high expectations. As long as I'm having a good time and there's nothing that blatantly offends me or something, it's a decent show.
Yeah, and as I said, I've told you about how I feel about Gotham with some things, but
yeah,
it's not the worst thing ever.
No, Gotham actually, and it's been getting good. You got to catch up on this thing.
And like I said, with Jerome, that's
oh yeah, this week's Gotham was nuts. Which you probably still haven't seen, have you?
I like the actors that's playing in the show. It's just story wise, I'm still trying to get used to it. But even seeing a young Bruce Wayne and a young Joker, it's hard not to like that. Just because.
Yeah. Oh, you got? Did you see this week's? Did you see this week's? Oh,
not this.
No, you got to see this week's.
Okay.
Once you see the end of that, then you'll know. This was one we can't talk on the show because you got to see the end of it to know what I'm talking about.
Okay. Well, let me catch up.
But let me go back to Supergirl for just a minute. We have two other things on that real quick. They've actually done some more casting of another Superman or Super Family alumni coming to the show later this season.
Hmm.
Now, the Berlanti universe has done a lot of what they can call stunt casting. Where they cast people that have been in DC Comics roles before. The Flash has already had John Wesley Shipp and Mark Hamill and Amanda Pays on the show. And they didn't even mention the actor who plays Julio. He was on there the first episode of the season. Then in Supergirl, we've had Helen Slater.
I can't remember that far.
Huh?
I can't remember that far back.
Remember, he was the captain in the Flash in the Flashpoint universe.
Oh, yes, you're right. You're right.
But and then Supergirl has had actually the previous Supergirls on the show with Helen Slater playing Supergirl's mom and Laura Vanderhoof playing – she was one of the Brainiacs, wasn't she?
Yeah, she was.
And then we've had Wonder Woman, Linda Carter, on there as the president. And then, of course, we have Dean Cain on there as Supergirl's father. And everybody knows he was actually Superman from Lois and Clark. But they've just cast – huh?
I would say they do the same thing with like every Superman in the film and the shows. They always bring back a different a portrayal of a different Superman or Supergirl coming back for a different role.
Well, the next one they're bringing in is Dean Cain's counterpart, Terry Hatcher, has been cast as a multi-episode role towards the end of this season.
And they haven't said which role yet, huh?
No, they haven't. I guess both Dean Cain and Terry Hatcher both had cameo roles on Smallville also, but in separate areas, separate times. But, because actually Terry Hatcher played Lois Lane's mother Smallville, which is interesting since she played Lois Lane. But in this one, there's a chance with the Cadmus stuff coming up later on in the season, what's the chance that she's going to be working in Cadmus, and we can actually see Dean Cain and Terry Hatcher actually sharing a scene together.
Like we did with John Wesley Slip and
Amanda Pays.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this one would be the first time they've been on screen together for 20 years or so, since they were on the original show together.
Man, that was a while ago.
Exactly. So it'd be interesting to see that. And you know, all of the fanboys and all the super friends out there be geeking out hard.
Yeah, like, please, come on. Let's get scenes with them together.
So, so she's coming. No one knows what or when or where or anything like that, but we know it's coming. The other one I have is actually Supergirl and Flash news, as soon as it brings it up. But David Harewood, who plays the Martian Manhunter, has said he's excited. We found out more information about the musical crossover that's coming up. Basically, it's going to be like the last segment of Supergirl and then all of Flash, which is what we did for Invasion and some of the other ones.
Yeah, a little crossover and lead us to the next episode.
Exactly. We know the Music Meister is going to be the villain, but they've announced who's going to actually be singing in the show in this episode and some of the people starring. We know that, but we found out David Harewood is going to be coming to the Flash universe. So Martian Manhunter is going to be in Central City.
Yeah, seeing Martian Manhunter in a musical, you can't really... That in itself is just enjoyable to watch.
Yeah. What's going to be interesting seeing some of these characters, some of these... Now, Wynn is coming over because he's going to be having a musical set. Now, the people singing are Grant Gustin, Melissa Benoist, Carlos Valdez, who's Cisco, Jeremy Jordan, which plays Wynn, Jesse L. Martin, which is Joe West, and then these two names are interesting. I'm wondering how they're bringing these in. John Barrowman, who plays Malcolm Merlyn, and Victor Garber, who's Martin Stein. So we got two of the people from Legends coming in.
Which is weird because we're only going to see one half of Firestorm.
Exactly. Unless this episode brings in maybe where... Because remember, Robbie Amell is supposed to be coming back some point this season also.
You think this would be
the
episode?
So what's the chance that Robbie Amell comes back on this episode also and we actually do get the original Firestorm?
You know, when he went actually into the coffee shop on Legends, I was thinking when he said my partner or my colleague, I'm like, wait a minute, this is 2000... Wait, what year did they go back? They went in 2015, right?
No, they were in 2017.
They were in 2017? Okay. Heard that wrong. I was saying if they went back that far, it could have been the first Firestorm.
Yeah, it could have been Robbie Amell right there, but it wasn't. So it's going to be interesting to see how this happens. And a lot of the cast members there are known for their singing talents already, because Grant Gustin and Melissa Benoist were both on Glee. The actor who's playing Music Meister, which I just closed the article. Let me bring this up and slide down. The Music Meister is being played by Darren Criss, who's also a Glee alumni.
Hmm.
And Jesse Martin, we've already seen sing on the show once on Remember Earth 2. He was a jazz singer.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He had a beautiful voice.
Yes. Well, that's why they said that's why they did this episode, because there's so many singers actually already on the shows.
Okay. So this was very convenient for them, too, and it's not hard for them to pull off.
Exactly. So, but that's some of the stuff coming up on Supergirl. Let's move on to Flash a little bit. Flash had some fun stuff this week. We got to meet Gypsy with a brand new power set.
Yeah, she was basically Cisco, a female version of Cisco with better powers.
That Vicky was pointing out, what's the chances that she's actually, they're from Earth 19, right? What's the chances that she's actually Cisco's doppelganger from Earth 19?
I could totally believe that because her powers were the same exact thing. She just knew how to use them better.
Well, she had more practice.
She did. And she had a very nice accent.
Mm-hmm. Well, the idea was that she's a collector. And what it is H.R. Wells had, when he came over to Central City, he broke one of the cardinal laws of Earth 19, which was no interdimensional travel.
Because
no interworld travel.
Didn't their world get attacked or something like that?
Yeah, they were invaded from another world or something, and when they finally repelled it, they said, you know what? No more. No one can travel between the worlds to Earth 19. Well, this core of collectors was put together to actually chase down people who break this and actually cause breaches or travel through breaches. So when he came over here, he knew full well that they would start searching for him.
And when they do something bad, they don't, or at least that bad, they don't go to jail. There's punishment.
Yeah, this gets a death sentence if you get caught doing this. So, but there's also, they also have the old rule of trial by combat to get out of it. So,
and that's where Cisco stepped up to the plate.
Yeah, dummy Cisco decides, hey, I'm going to fight her. Wait. How, I don't even know how my powers work yet.
Whoops.
Yeah.
And then that's when Barry was telling him, hey, when Avis would have done the same thing, it was like, Barry, he doesn't know how to use his powers.
Yeah.
Luckily
they had Julian on their side. Who actually figured out what she did before her doing her major move.
I like him as being part of the team. I know they're hard to trust him, and he can come off as a little bit of a prick, but...
Well, also, you got to look at the history of this show. There's a good possibility he's still going to be a villain at the end.
That's what I was thinking. When is he going to come back as Savitar? Something might happen, or he might just go back to Alchemy.
Well, we know Savitar's coming back, but we don't know when, so...
Could be through him, at least get him to where he needs to be and reemerge.
So that's most of what happened on Flash. They end up saving H.R. Wells, and the major difference is he's now stuck on Earth 1. He's not allowed to return home.
Right, that was the deal he made with Gypsy, or Gypsy made with him, I should say.
Yep, because if he returns home, she's going to tell everybody he's dead.
Right, because she doesn't, she'll probably wind up dying herself.
Uh-huh.
I would not want to be on Earth 19, I figured that out.
Yeah. So we now maybe have a Dr. Wells or H.R. Wells now that's actually going to be with us for more than one season.
And Wally's getting really popular on there too.
Oh yeah, And Wally's getting popular with the ladies, or at least Kid Flash is getting popular with the ladies.
Oh, yeah, he is.
They say, that whole bus full of cheerleaders?
Bus full of cheerleaders, yeah.
And Wally Barry steps back and says, go ahead, Wally. He's like, hey, ladies, how you doing?
Dane got a selfie in there with one of them. It's like, oh, boy.
Oh, yeah. So, Flash is, like always, is just killing it. I'm loving Flash.
We finally got to see Vibe in his full Vibe costume, too. Yes. Which was really good.
And he was killing it, too. I mean, he's learned how to travel through breaches as whenever he wants. He just opens a breach, steps through it, and steps out the other side.
But he's becoming our true Vibe.
Yes.
And he also, since he beat Gypsy, he figured out some new strategies, so I wonder if that will aid him in any more episodes.
Yeah, I wonder how often he's actually going to be in the field.
Right. I kind of felt that way about Mr. Riffic on Arrow for a second until they actually got their team together.
Yeah, that's interesting, because especially in this episode of Arrow, it looked like you have Felicity back at the bunker. Then you have Curtis out in the field with you, so it's like you have two tech people, but Curtis is your on-hand in the truck. If something goes wrong, you get him out there and he fixes it. Where Felicity is able to just stay back at the bunker and work from there.
Be safe.
Exactly. I still want to see the T-balls.
I do, too. I'm waiting for that. We'll get those at some point. Now I'm trying to figure out what happened to Artemis. We haven't seen her for a couple episodes. I know
we know she's coming back. Because we're going to see a lot more Prometheus coming up soon, too. And she's working with Prometheus.
I don't know if she's going to turn her back on him and go back to Team Arrow, or what's going to happen with her.
I don't know. Because remember in Young Justice, and I don't know much of her from the comic books, but in Young Justice, she betrays the team
also. She did the same thing. Yeah. I saw that coming because of the show.
Yeah. So, but the last one we had for this week that we're going to talk about is Legends of Tomorrow. And Legends was interesting because we basically got to see, this was a very heavy Merlin and Damian Dark episode.
Yeah, and well, when they started the intro, we were like, okay, we're not getting the Legends talking. This is the Legion of Doom talking and saying why they're doing what they want and why they need to do this.
Yeah, so go ahead.
I was just saying it was an odd intro, but I enjoyed it. I wouldn't mind getting more of those. Therefore, we also know now which episode is this going to be heavily based on, the villains or the heroes. But I really like to see what the villains did from their aspect. And they kind of got bullied by the Reverse Flash until he told them, hey, guys, I'm going to die soon if we don't move.
Yeah. Well, that was awesome. We actually got on screen the actual Black Flash, and he looks right out of the comic books onto the screen.
Scary. Very scary.
Yes. Now, anybody who doesn't know, the Black Flash is the avatar of death for speedsters. When speedsters die, he comes and collects you. Well, remember, Eobard Thawne is supposed to be dead.
Right.
But we found out in this episode, time hasn't solidified around that fact yet, and that's why he's able to bounce around. As long as he stays ahead of the speedster, he's still here.
He's fine. Oh, wow. Yeah, that scene when he was trying to catch Reverse Flash, and they said, hey, stay still, you can't detect your motion.
Yeah.
You just do that.
Did that remind you of the original Jurassic Park with the T-Rex?
Yeah, it did. Honestly, a little bit of Jaws, too.
Yeah, don't move. It can only see you if you move.
I wonder if that was actual Easter egg they put in there for that reason.
I don't know. But I love seeing the Black Flash, and it's something they're obviously going to be racing against the entire rest of the season. I'm wondering how long until we actually get Captain Cold back, though, because he's supposed to be actually joining this Legion of Doom this year.
Hmm. Yeah, I was thinking we might get a little more glimpse of him last episode, but we didn't. He was still just a figment of Heatwave's imagination.
Yeah, which is going to be interesting because when Heatwave does come across the Leonard Snart, the actual one, and wondering, wait a minute, why is... Yeah, he won't know if it's actually in his brain or not.
Well, we'll figure that out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still trying to think, how are they going to bring him back? Are they going to go back in time?
They're going to pull him from an earlier time frame.
Okay, that's going to mess with Mick real bad.
Oh, yeah.
But then again, he might join the team for a little bit because that's going to be the old Captain Cold that he knew of before he became a legend.
Yeah. Well, they've already confirmed that this is going to be the Captain Cold who's actually still a villain. He's never gone through any of the stuff that we've seen. This is before he even met Flash.
Okay, I see.
So this is the cold, calculating, evil Captain Cold.
Hmm.
He's basically at the same place he was at the beginning of the Flash series.
And that took a lot of being in the head with Nail trying to make him nice.
Uh-huh.
Well, he was always nice. He always had the hero heart, but Barry was just trying to bring it out of him so he would say, hey, I'm a good guy. See, I'm not that bad. Yeah. Admit to himself.
Well, Wentworth Miller, they were talking about how he's loving the fact that he gets to take a character that he's already gone on a major story arc and developed and changed this character and then do it again in a different way.
Okay. Good acting.
Yeah. Well, that's like what Tom Cavanaugh has been doing with we've talked about this before, how Dr. Wells, Cavanaugh's had at least 3 full story arcs with this character. And gone in 3 totally different directions with it.
So he's got his little ideas out there.
Uh-huh.
He knows how to operate.
So, but I had one other story about TV real quick before we move on, because we're getting late into the show here a little bit.
But, a little bit.
They've released a picture. You got to bring up the article for this so you can see the picture. Edward Nygma is going to go full-on Riddler in Gotham this season.
Bright green suit and everything.
Oh yeah, I watched the teaser they had here, but in episode 15 of Gotham, it's called "The Future Is Written." It's going to be out in April. Let me see April 24th. We will get a full on Riddler, not just Edward Nygma. So he's got the green suit. He's going totally nuts, huh?
So without the question marks all over him.
Exactly. And actually, if you look at the different featurettes and stuff they've had recently, you know how they usually zoom out and it says Gotham and it has a little subtitle underneath?
Mm-hmm.
If you look dead center in the city as they start to zoom out, there's a little green question mark.
Wait, I'm looking. Hold on.
You got to see it when they actually are pulling away on the actual animation for it.
Okay. Hmm. Is it on a building?
Huh?
Is it on a building?
Yeah, hang on. Let me go. The video that's on that page, you just got to get to the end of the... Yeah, right around the 26-second mark. See, this one has actual... Okay. This one actually has the question mark on the bottom, but some of the other ones I saw earlier, they have a question mark that's hiding down in the buildings.
That's what I was wondering, because it looks like I can see green, at least.
Yeah. So, the next up was actually movie... Did you have anything else in TV?
No, not on TV. Well, yes, I did, actually.
What'd you got on TV?
This is more on the animated side.
We had it in the wrong... Okay.
Yeah, nothing too big, guys, but Mark Hamill is back with DC doing another voice role, which is not Joker. He is now going to be voicing Swamp Thing. I'm very curious on how this is going to sound. He has worked as a Joker for years with DC Comics, so, 25 years ago Mark Hamill started doing the voice of the villain?
Yeah.
Wow, that was almost 3 years ago. I feel old.
And I love those shows. I still pop those on every once in a while.
Oh, yeah, I watched one of the episodes last weekend. But Hamill is now going to be voicing Swamp Thing, and it's going to be airing this Saturday, actually. There is a clip online if you guys want to check it out. It's from IGN's article I'm reading right now. But in this episode, I guess Swamp Thing and Solomon Grundy are going to be going at it. And so, hey, we're going to get Swamp Thing, and there's a picture here with Batman talking to Swamp Thing directly. So... You're going to finally get Mark Hamill and Kevin Conroy back on screen again, voicing characters, except he will not be Joker this time.
Well, here, hey, I can actually play this clip so we can hear what Mark Hamill sounds like as Swamp Thing.
Okay.
Give me a second. Let's see if it'll play.
Hopefully, fingers crossed.
But, I don't know. Dick Durick, I got to add.
That always happens. Don't worry, I was going to add, too.
So, but, I don't know. For me... The greatest Swamp Thing voice I've ever heard was Dick Durick, who did it back in the old movies and the TV series. Yeah, that real gravelly low, that was Swamp Thing.
Yeah, when I read Swamp Thing now in the comic book, same as we get that Lobo effect.
Or yeah, you hear that voice in his head.
Still hear that voice. Yeah, so I wonder if I can play without getting an ad.
Crud. No, well, the ad's about over now, so I just got to, there we go.
Now the world belongs to the undead.
This is Solomon Grundy.
Right.
And some vines grab some zombies and pull them down.
Solomon Grundy.
Oh, that's weird.
The swamp is my domain.
That is really weird.
Yeah.
Actually, it's I don't like that. I'm not going to lie, I don't like that.
That's a little strange because it's... Well, Mark Hamill isn't changing anything in his voice. It's just him talking and they're putting the effect over it.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I've not watched a lot of Justice League action. I got to watch more.
I'm still waiting for these things to come out.
Yeah. We found a way to watch it. I just haven't put any effort into that yet. So, but, yeah. Yeah, it's going to be interesting hearing him do Swamp Thing like that. Like I said, I like the effect they're doing on it.
But just Mark Hamill's voice being there as the Joker?
It's not low enough.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't sound like Joker, really. Because Joker, he goes in a different place with.
Right. And he made that character his own. I don't think he's going to make Swamp Thing his own.
But speaking of Joker, we actually, the next story is in the Batman universe.
Yeah, this was a lot of work going around on the internet, unfortunately.
We saw this coming from a mile away. We talked about it on here a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
And you've probably all heard about it already, but Ben Affleck is stepping down as director of Batman. Now, he's still got 10 other hats on this movie. He's still co-writer, he's still the producer, and he's still the star of the movie for the movie The Batman. But he's decided with Warner Brothers that he's going to step down and let someone else do the actual directing of it. Now, the statement he had here, Variety had the story originally. And he said in the Variety article, there are certain characters who hold a special place in the hearts of millions. Performing this role demands focus, passion, and the very best performance I can give. It has become clear that I cannot do both jobs on the level they require. Together with the studio, I have decided to find a partner and a director who will collaborate with me on this massive film. I am still in this, and we are making it, but we are currently looking for a director. I remain extremely committed to this project and look forward to bringing this to life for fans around the world.
You know, I just had a funny thought.
Okay.
What if they got Christopher Nolan to come back to direct this?
There's a lot of people that are throwing that idea around.
It could happen. It definitely could be a thing.
Mm-hmm.
He's worked with DC so many, not DC, but worked with Warner Bros. So many times before.
Yeah. Another one that's on the short list that I mentioned in the article here is possibly Matt Reeves, who I guess he directed War for the Planet of the Apes that's coming out later this year.
Okay.
He's one of the ones they're looking at also. But now we know, we've covered on the show that Warner Brothers is having a problem with their writers and directors, the people stepping out of movies and stepping in and stepping out, and they're having problems getting people to stay with the movie. Okay, have you heard of a site called UpRocks?
No, I have not.
Well, they're a blog site that has all kinds of different stuff on there, but one of them, they actually were running a story about the possibility of DC and Warner Brothers having an in-house option for the problem with the writers and directors that they're having. We've had years and years of DC animation.
And it's been great.
Exactly. The television shows have been amazing. The animated TV shows, everything from the Batman animated series all the way through to now. And DC direct-to-video DVDs.
Yeah, they've all been good. The animation's perfect. The voice work's perfect. The stories are great.
Well, what's the chances of them possibly tapping a couple of those writers to write a couple of these live-action movies?
I wouldn't mind that.
These guys know how to write DC comics, heroes, for the screen.
Hmm.
I know I would love to see any of the DC Comics movies maybe written by a Paul Dini or a Bruce Timm.
Yeah, I mean, now that we know they're doing the Green Lanterns the way they are, from the, was that Emerald Knight? I don't know exactly, but it was the Green Lantern direct DVD they made years ago.
Yeah.
That was great. The way they showed Sinestro from being Green Lantern to actually becoming a Yellow Lantern and Hal Jordan having to overcome that. I love that. So yeah. There's a lot of things. Even the Aquaman movie they did a couple years back.
Yeah, the Throne of Atlantis.
Yeah.
That's one that's on my list. I gotta watch.
It's the way the actors are being casted right now, and I guess their motives from the DVD seems like they might be taking a little bit of that and putting it into the movie.
Yeah,
and I thought they were gonna do more of that when they made even Suicide Squad with the Assault on Arkham.
Well,
they went a little bit of a different route there.
Yeah, but I think they wouldn't lose by having some of these guys try it a couple of scripts. These are people, I said, that know comic books. They know how to write films.
I think they should do that. I would love for them to get a writer like that.
So, but the other thing I had here in cinema is we actually have two bits of an actual casting and a rumored casting for Aquaman. We now have a Black Manta.
So this is still rumored.
Well, no, the first one, Black Manta, is confirmed. We have a Black Manta for the Aquaman film. Director James Wan and the studio have a meeting with numerous actors over the part for the last 2 weeks. Now, I'm going to butcher this name.
I'll try to help you out.
Yahya Abdul-Mateen II.
Yahya Abdul-Mateen II.
Has been cast as Black Manta. He actually he's known more recently as for Get Down on Netflix TV series.
Oh, okay.
So, and he's done a couple other things, not a whole lot, so.
I'm going to Google this guy. Is he newer then?
Yeah, he's not been out there for a long time. The other one we have is a rumor, heavy rumor, that Nicole Kidman is actually in talks back and forth to play Aquaman's mother.
Which Nicole Kidman, if I'm correct, played in another DC movie.
Yes. She actually played opposite Val Kilmer
in Batman Forever.
Batman Forever. She played the doctor that he was dating.
Yeah.
The psychiatrist.
Yeah. When I saw it, going back, watching, I'm like, is that supposed to be Harley Quinn?
That's what a lot of people were wondering. Was this based on an early Harley Quinn or something?
Yeah, I was wondering, was that even back then people speculated?
A little bit. I don't think too much. Because still, Harley was, unless you read the, unless you knew the cartoons, you didn't know Harley when this was made.
Right. You feel like there was a fan out there that put two and two together. Like, wait a minute, that should have been Harley Quinn. She's blonde.
Uh-huh. But that's what we had for movie news for this week. We have one more bit of news, I think, before we get into a little bit of reviews. And the reviews are going to be awesome, because we actually have the finale of Justice League Suicide Squad this week.
It's so good.
But before we get into that, do you remember last year we were talking about the 2016 artist workshops for DC? They do one for artists and one for writers. And we actually got, in remember, December, the New Talent Showcase, like Maxi Book or Mini Trade. Something like that. Mm-hmm. You remember that?
Yeah.
Well, DC has now opened and are accepting applications for the 2017 Artist Workshops.
Hey, nice.
It says, I'll read, this is actually a press release, so I'll read the whole thing. It says, in an effort to find new and aspiring comic book talent, DC Entertainment's talent development team is kicking off the 2017 Artist Workshop today. With online applications being accepted now through March 1st at dccomicstalentworkshop.com. DC's Writers Workshop will begin accepting online applications on March 1st through March 31st. So the artists are doing now. Writers are coming up in March. So you got 1 month. Any artists out there that are listening to this that want to try to get into this, you have until March 1st.
Short time, but still have time.
Exactly. And anybody who's ever dreamed of being a writer for comic books, your applications start March 1st and go through March 31st. Now it says, DC's talent development workshops are led by an all-star talent lineup, including Jim Lee, Scott Snyder, Klaus Janson, and Andy Kubert. The series of workshops are designed to give access to and a voice to new and prospective talent, providing an opportunity to showcase their work following intensive DC workshop sessions. DC's talent development website offers extensive tips, advice, and recommended reading to help potential applicants navigate the submission process. Both workshops will take place in the fall of 2017. Following a highly successful inaugural year that saw the DC workshop alum receive numerous assignments on our books, we're excited to embark upon a new search for up-and-coming talent with the 2017 workshops, stated DC Entertainment's Vice President of Talent Development, Bobby Chase. Now, about the Artist Workshop, just that by itself, the Artist Workshop is the 2017 Artist Workshop was developed by DC with world-renowned artists Jim Lee, Klaus Janson, and Andy Kubert. You visit, now remember, this is all one word here, dccomicstalentworkshop.com/artist-workshop for more information on the program and to see our newest DC Artist Workshops alum. Competitive candidates will have an established portfolio of sequential art. For the artists selected via the online submission process, the workshop will provide the knowledge and exposure required to cross the threshold into the competitive world of comic book publishing. Chosen artists will be asked to complete art assignments that will be critiqued by several top DC artists. If the artists achieve the level of work required for the course, they will then be invited to a two-week intensive workshop at the DCE's Burbank offices. So this sounds like it's an intensive process, but it's going to be
worth it.
Yeah. And then the writers' workshops. It says the 2017 writers' workshop was developed by DC with best-selling writer Scott Snyder. For selected candidates, the 2017 DC writers' workshop will run in the summer/fall as an online, real-time, weekly interactive seminar for 13 consecutive weeks. Each seminar will teach a new skill essential for surviving and excelling in this highly competitive field. Upon completion of this program, DCE's Talent Development Group will ensure successful participants are considered for positions on current DC titles.
Oh, okay.
Wow. So anybody who's ever wondered, exactly, anybody who's wondered, how do you get into comic books and how do you get these made? How do you work for the big dogs? Well, this is an easy way to, or maybe not easy, but this is a way to actually get your foot in the door. Because just because you don't get chosen for this doesn't mean they didn't see your stuff and like it.
Right. That happens with so many different businesses. Just you didn't get that job doesn't mean that they won't remember you for somewhere else.
Well, we're both wrestling fans. And remember back when they were doing NXT and they had all the tryouts and people were cut and all these things? But how many of those people that were cut you eventually see in the developmental program anyway?
Yeah. Or, heck, they go to another wrestling company and do really well.
Exactly. So this is going to be exciting. We watched it a little bit last year. We're going to watch it more this year. It's going to be good stuff.
Definitely.
So did you have any other news stories before we start getting into our reviews and such?
I want to bring this up. Not that big of a thing. It's just the video game news. They did recently show a trailer for Black Canary being in the game. So we're finally going to get a new character.
And which game is that?
Injustice 2.
Okay.
Yeah, we didn't get her in Justice 1, and a lot of people were thinking it would have been easy for them to do so because all you got to do is get Sindel saying things. She screams at you, Sonic Boom, or whatever you want to call it. Her canary cry is very similar to hers, but she looks like she's a combination with her powers and Sonya Blade's fighting style.
Okay.
But, that was really it. Just we finally get another character, and it is Black Canary that they released. The one thing I thought was funny, they released this in the same week we got a new Black Canary for a TV show.
Yeah. Well, that's we've seen a lot of synergy between the books and what's happening and then the news that DC's releasing and then what we're seeing on television.
Yeah, they're very intertwined.
So, and it's cool because it's like you're seeing synergy where you're seeing the characters, same characters in both, but it's not the same story and they're not part of the same world.
Exactly, and that's the one thing that I love. It's like, hey, I get them, and I can get them on this show, I can get them on the video game.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, I'm becoming more of a fan of this character, so whoever's out there that doesn't really know the Black Canary, they're going to be able to see them either on TV or play with them, and then maybe they can be a fan now of the books.
Yeah. So, I believe that brings us to our reviews for the week.
Oh, yeah, at least got some good ones, too.
Mm-hmm. And we're starting off this week with Justice League versus Suicide Squad number 6, the finale of the of this major crossover event. Now you have this one, right?
Yeah, I'm kind of sad this is over. I love this thing. Great.
Yeah, but this has some good stuff in it.
Very good. Well, we start back off with Eclipso telling why he's doing all this and showing why people are evil and why he wants to take over the world. And this is going leery everywhere. This is in like England, New York, China, Japan, just. It's everywhere. The world is going to pot.
Yeah.
And Eclipso wants the darkness. He unlocks all of the darkness, and that's what's going on with everybody. And you get this great splash page of the... What are we calling this? Is this the Justice League Suicide Squad versus the Justice League?
It is the Justice League versus the Dark Justice League, I would say. Because remember, at the end of the last issue, Batman told all of these villains and such you're now part of the Justice League.
Yeah, my friend Ty was like, well, since there's more Suicide Squad members, like, Batman, you're part of the Suicide Squad right now. But
or maybe the Suicide League?
Suicide League. I would actually be cool with that name.
The Justice Squad?
The Justice Squad. That would work, too, since it's just Batman. I'm going to call him Justice Squad for right now. But you get Eclipso going at it with some of the Suicide Squad members, and he takes off Deadshot's mask, looks at him directly, and he basically taps into his darkness. No matter how much he loves his daughter, the only thing that keeps him humane is his daughter. So I said, you know what? If you don't want to have that feeling, just kill your daughter. There's nothing wrong with that. Then you can do whatever you want. He's like, yeah, that'd be a good idea. He can just corrupt these people like it ain't nothing to it. Then he gets Amanda Waller and he grabs her close like he's dancing with her in the sky. He's talking about how the sun will never come back. This is permanent dark and I'm not a monster. You take worse thoughts unbreakable than what I do. That's what I love about you. Now, when somebody that evil tells you this is their one thing they like about you, you probably want to reevaluate your life. and then you get the Justice League going out with the Justice Squad, and they're going back and forth. Superman blasts Lobo with his eye beams and then leaves him alone, flies away. Now, this is where Batman, Lobo, and Killer Frost say, hey, we need to make a plan because everybody else that was on our team, they're not on our team anymore. They're all under Eclipso's, I wouldn't even say, he's not hypnotized them. He's just taken over what they love about their dark hearts.
Exactly. So you get The nice thing is we also get right here, they get Killer Frost and Batman figure out what Eclipso's actual weakness is.
The light.
The sun.
Sunlight.
So what's going to happen for the rest of this thing, they have to figure out a way to hit Eclipso with a beam of light as powerful as the sun.
Which is pretty hard to do.
Yes.
But they're going to have Lobo distract them, which is pretty easy for Lobo to do. He just goes in there kicking butt.
Well, luckily, there's someone running around that actually can shoot beams of light that are about the same as solar radiation because they're powered by solar radiation.
Yep. And look at that. He's so conveniently placed right there. But bad thing is, he's not going to do this on his own terms. They're going to have to trick him into doing this.
Mm-hmm.
So you get Killer Frost bringing this construct, something like another diamond, to reflect the beams off of it. So when Superman hits it, it will make basically solar-powered energy. And it does work. It takes away Eclipso's powers from the Justice League, and it does start to burn Eclipso. But Killer Frost used up almost all of her powers, and it looked like that drained her so bad it's probably going to kill her. But then you come back. Now, since the Justice League are free, they say, take you some energy from us, Caitlin, and you can power yourself. Just take a little bit from each one of us. This kind of felt... Did you ever watch Dragon Ball Z?
Some.
This just kind of reminded me when Goku needs to make his spirit bomb. It's like, here, take a little bit of energy from everybody.
Yeah.
So they all give some of their life force to her, and look like Eclipso's coming back and he's going to win because he's shattering them with the darkness. But he tells her, I know what's in you. You want this dark side. You want to do this and you want to deny yourself. And she says, I have been not denying myself. You're right. But I'm actually going to finally do it. I'm going to make a difference. That's what she really wants to do. That's what's in her heart. Then she tells Superman now. He shoots at the crystal, and it takes out Eclipso. And everything is back to normal. Not really normal, but all the destruction happened. But everybody's back to being a normal human. Now, seeing just Caitlin Frost, or Caitlin Snow, do something like that, whenever Eclipso tried to bring out of her, it did come out of her, but she was still a hero at the end of it. And she even picks up Maxwell Lord. And this is Amanda Waller telling her to kill him, drain him of his life force, do it now, he's too dangerous, which he is, but she's not a killer. Not anymore.
Well, she's chosen to not be a killer now.
Right. And I think that's just because of Superman and Batman. Those were like the main two heroes that told her, hey, you can be different. You don't have to do what everybody thinks you're supposed to. Be what you really want to be in your heart. And now we get back to Belle Reve Penitentiary, and this is another great panel here. You get the Suicide Squad and the Justice League just actually being buddy-buddy with each other. You got Jessica Cruz showing Enchantress these constructs that she has from a ring from Emotion. You get El Diablo talking to Aquaman. Captain Boomerang trying to hit on Wonder Woman, and he fails terribly.
Yeah.
Then you get Simon and Deadshot. Harley
comparing
Quinn
scars.
And yeah, they are. He's like, hey, I got this from Atrocious. And then Deadshot's like, oh, yeah. Or not Deadshot, I'm sorry. Deadshot's saying, I got this from Deathstroke's sword. And then you get Harley and Flash talking about why Batman's always a sourpuss. And you get Cyborg here patching up Killer Croc's wounds. Now, isn't that nice of him?
Mm-hmm.
But the one that really hits home is Superman talking to Killer Frost. And go back what they were talking about, I think in issue 2, how she can be a hero and there is good in her. And she's telling Superman all her life, all she wanted to do was help people. That's why she became a scientist. But when she became Killer Frost, she felt like everything was taken away from her. And it's kind of ironic because she wanted to save lives. And that was the only thing that seemed to keep her alive is other people's life force. But when she looked inside of Eclipso, all the fears came that were hiding and she actually found hope. And it's funny she's telling the Big Blue this because that's what his S on his chest stands for, his hope. And she says, I guess I was meant to be part of a Suicide Squad because I'll give anything to save people's lives. It's like committing suicide, right? He said, no, Caitlin, that's not suicide. That's called sacrifice. And now you get Amanda Waller and Batman talking to each other, which was very, very interesting. He wants Killer Frost. He doesn't care really about anybody else on the Suicide Squad. They can stay there, but Killer Frost is different from everybody. She's not a stone-cold killer like them. And she's telling him all she'll ever be is a killer. If you do this, you're wasting your time. She's always going to be a villain. She's always going to be locked up in Belle Reve, and she's not getting under my watch. He says, I get her out on good behavior, and she can get on parole. And Amanda Waller just fighting him tooth and nail, saying, hey, you can't have these guys. I don't care what you say. And then the thing that breaks her into actually letting him have Caitlin, he says, I guess your Suicide Squad wasn't too bad. I misjudged it. They still have their faults in Task Force X, but after seeing what they did to help save the world, they can't be that bad. We'll work with them if we need to again.
And she decides that there's actually room in the world for both, the Suicide Squad and the Justice League.
And with Batman having his arrogant attitude and he's always being right, you really can't get through to him. If he just said he misjudged Amanda Waller out of all people, she says, you know what? Just before that, you can take her. I never thought I would hear you say anything like that to me.
Yeah.
And now he's got to recruit another member he wants for something else. Well, heck. He wants to make a new Justice League, Justice League of America, and he goes to Lobo saying, hey, you're a man of your word, aren't you? He's like, yeah, I am. I always am. That's why I didn't want Maxwell Lord doing all this voodoo magic on me. He betrayed me. And just let you know, Bats, if there's a job you need done, I'm a crazy enough guy to do so. So just give me a holler. He says, all right, Lobo, since you are a man of your word, I want you on my team on the Justice League. He says, no, I'm not. You must be crazy. He says, well, are you a man of your word or not? All right. You got Lobo in a deal here. Now we get back to Maxwell Lord.
This one is really interesting, him talking to Waller.
Did you want to take over this ending part?
Nah, go ahead.
He's saying, how did I get here? All my plans I thought were perfect. I had everything under control. But there's just one thing that I did not expect you, Amanda Waller, to do. You manipulated them more worse than I did. You actually had the Suicide Squad and Justice League working together alongside each other just to stop me. He had everything down to a T, and he manipulates people with his power. That's what he does.
Well, this hers was even worse. She didn't have them working together to stop him.
No.
She had them working together so that where to go at Batman, the very end.
Well, just so Batman and the rest of Justice League would see, hey, the Suicide Squad is not that bad. Task Force S can be used for good. She knew a day was going to come where they would try to stop her, and they probably would, because these are basically gods among men. Exactly. They would have took her down, and there's nothing she could have done about it. But now, since she kind of figured Maxwell Lord would do something this evil, she had another backup plan.
She's got backup plans for her backup plans.
Yeah, she does. Make it look like he is seriously the true bad guy. But in the end of all this, she actually had all this planned out, really. Mm-hmm. All the destruction. She let all this happen. She let the old Suicide Squad work together just so she could show the Justice League, hey, there's evil in this world where we can both work together, which is right, but Amanda Waller always have another plan than what you think. So even if it looks like she's trying to save the world, if it's not to her agenda, it's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing while they were talking, you do get Emerald Empress. She is trying to still find Stargirl, so her and her eye disappear somewhere. Girl. I'm sorry, Saturn Girl. And then you get Johnny Sorrow's mask. Now, Johnny's gone, but his mask is still in our dimension. Someone else is going to pull on this mask. It's bound to happen.
Eventually,
they're hearing voices from this thing, two scientists that are in the room.
I think it's very similar to the mask of Dr. Fate.
Yeah, exactly. But, yeah, that's a really – they're both magic, too.
Uh-huh.
Ooh, that would be nice to see them fight against each other, which might have happened. I just haven't read the book. And I did not know this. Is Dr. Polaris bipolar or something?
I don't know. It says he's psychotic.
Well, he takes off his mask in this panel, and he's looking at it saying, man, what have I done? Polaris made me do it again. So I'm guessing he's bipolar, and he puts on that mask.
And that are multiple personalities or something.
Yeah, possibly. I'm really thinking that's what's going on. And then you get Rush from saying he's never going to forgive you, Amanda Waller, and he's never
And actually, I didn't know this from before.
He never wants to see you hurt.
If you look at that panel,
he's trying to save people.
Well, no, if you look at that panel, here in Justice Suicide Squad number 10, you're going to see who that is he's looking at.
Oh, crap, you're right. Holy
and we'll find
crap.
Out about that here in just a minute.
Yeah, we will. Wow, thanks. I didn't know that
until just now, yeah.
Oh, wow. Funny how that works, isn't it? And then, now, Eclipso, and this happened, like I said, in the cartoon. When he got destroyed, I guess his diamonds went everywhere around the world, and we don't know where exactly, but it's this father and his son walking, look like in the Antarctic or somewhere in a cold area, at least. His son starts to run towards the crystal, saying, hey, Dad, these things fell out of the sky. Be careful, son. So here we go all over again.
It's
we
like
don't
someone's
going to
pick
gonna
up the
approach.
Crystal, yeah.
Always happens like that. But then he goes back to Taylor Mill and Amanda Waller, you're the real evil one out of all this, and the Suicide Squad and Justice League don't even know yet. And she says, you know what, Max, you can keep all that in there. I don't really care, because if you try to manipulate anybody to come in here and release you, if you bleed at all, what's going through you, I had the doctors make, this is blood thinner. Just enough to make you bleed out and die. He says, you wouldn't do that to me, Waller. I'm not that bad. Wait, where exactly does he say all this? I hope you wouldn't let that happen to me, Amanda Waller. So is this where you say, welcome to the Suicide Squad, and you get me to be on your team once again? She says, oh no, Max, I have other plans for you. Your talent was wasted on Task Force X, but I have something more perfect for you. Task Force 11, XI.
So Task Force X is actually Task Force 10.
Task Force 10. I didn't know that until now. Mm-hmm. So now I'm thinking, what was the other plans?
Yeah.
How far back do these things go? Now I'm very curious. Since we got to see the first Suicide Squad, what else was there? And who's going to be on the new team? There's so many questions that need to be answered.
Uh-huh.
But that was the end of a great saga, but we're definitely getting continuation in Suicide Squad and in Just Leave America.
Yes. Which is looking to be a pretty good book.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we actually get the epilogue, or the finish of this, basically a final chapter wrap-up on this, in Suicide Squad number 10 this week. Now, in Suicide Squad number 10, you open up, we're in Alaska, in a military base where everybody's dead on the outside. And they said this is actually an ICBM missile silos in Alaska. It says the current arsenal is 20 W-87 ICBM warheads, which are intercontinental ballistic missiles, basically nuclear missiles, combined payload of 9,500 kilotons. They call it Armageddon in a box.
Sounds like Armageddon in a box.
Someone, Rustrum now, has broke into, and he has full control of it. He's killed everybody in there.
Oh, crap.
And now he has access to 20 nuclear warheads. Then they come in afterwards looking all over, and they can't find him. And they said, oh, this is bad. This is terrible. But on one of the missiles, they have a picture of three kids taped to the side of the missile. Then you flip over to these three kids, which what we were talking about in that panel where Rustrum was standing on a rooftop looking at three kids walking down the road is this three kids. Walking or talking back and forth, you have two twin boys and a girl arguing back and forth, their brother and sister. Some guy bumps into the girl. Then the two boys start running their mouth. Hey, what are you doing? Watch where you're going, all that type of stuff, acting all big and hard. And then out of nowhere, you get this van roll up, or this truck pull up, and these shock troop guys look out and says, National Security, get your hands in the air, and they're arrested.
Immediately, just like that.
Out of nowhere. And then the kids are in the back. Then they hear up front people arguing, talking back and forth, not know what's going on. He's like, they're saying how they're talking back and forth. Then they look also in the back. There's a cage, and Killer Croc is in the cage. So they stop.
He's being mean.
Huh?
Scary.
Yeah.
He's being mean and scary.
Well, they stop, open up the back doors, and Amanda Waller is standing there. And this is Coretta, Martin, and Jesse are the kids. She says, you're safe now. And all of a sudden, you see the girl says, Mom?
Yeah, this is our family.
Amanda Waller has kids. We find out later she had more. But you get out, and the kids are all ticked off. They've not seen their mother for 2 years. She disappeared and wrapped herself up in her work. They know she works in intelligence, is all they know. But she's sitting there with a Suicide Squad. So the Suicide Squad is who actually abducted these kids. They find out that she's protecting them from Rustrum, because that whole thing with the missile silo, he didn't take anything. He was proving he can get into anywhere and to get what he wants. So now Waller's whole thing is, you know what? My kids are not safe. I have to protect them. So she brought them into this safe house that they were planning on using for the original Suicide Squad and just didn't get used, so it's just falling apart now. They have Flag and other snipers covering all the different entrances to the building, trying to just protect this building. Then you get the kids talking to the mom, arguing back and forth about what are you doing, what did you do to cause this to happen? And then she says, there was this threat to the world. A lot of innocent people died, and a lot more were going to. And she's basically telling them what happened with Rustrum and Max Lord's guys without telling them. And and he says, a long time ago, this guy was working with me. He was a good man, but he betrayed me. He's a bad guy now. And that's all you really need to know is this bad guy is going to be coming for my family. Hmm. Then one of her sons says, no, there's something else I need to go. Have you visited their graves?
Yeah.
And here we learned that her husband and she had an older son and an older daughter that all died.
Yep, and I remember hearing about this.
So
this is one reason why she became the leader of Task Force X, at least what motivated her.
Mm-hmm. And I believe that was in a terrorist attack or something. I gotta look. I'm not sure right now. It probably says a little farther on. But the kids talk about how they go at least once a month, clean the gravestones, and put fresh flowers out. But have you been over there at all in the last 2 years? And then all of a sudden, Rick Flagg comes over to say, wait, someone's here. It's unclear who, and Waller wants to know, is this Rustrum? And he says, I don't know, I can't tell if it's Rustrum. Is he armed? Nothing I can see. It looks like he's just a guy in a hoodie with a backpack. So they let out Killer Croc to go after this guy. And the guy has to, when Killer Croc grabs a hold of him, the guy screams like a little girl and probably needs to change his pants.
At this point, we got a little scared.
So you find out this isn't Rustrum. You find out he's actually courier hired by Rustrum to bring the this tablet to Waller to talk to her. Now, he says straight up, if I wanted Rustrum, I swear, come near my kids. And he says, well, if I wanted them dead, they would already be dead. Trust me. I put a tracer on your girl earlier. Remember I told you the guy bumped into her on the street right before they got picked up?
Mm-hmm.
That was Rustrum, and he dropped the tracer on her. He says, I've been listening. I know an awful lot about them, but hurting them was never my actual intention. I just wanted them to actually see their mother for once. I wanted them to know you. Because they've already seen, when Killer Croc went to grab the messenger, he wouldn't stop. He was going to eat the guy. And so Waller had Rustrum, to activate the cerebral implant to shock him down.
And Rustrum wasn't a complete killer and villain like the other ones on the Suicide Squad that she first had. He was like what Rick Flagg was.
Yeah,
just
he was the first Rick Flagg.
So, I didn't think he was going to kill them just because that's not in his nature, I don't think. He would like to kill Waller, but not, he wouldn't want to involve anybody else.
Exactly.
Unless he really had to.
And he said, and Rustrum tells her here that, you know what my actual revenge is? Is the fact that Amanda Waller, the woman who knows everything, who didn't even know she was going to be a grandmother.
Yep.
Which shocks her. Now, none of this is actually confirmed anywhere that when I was reading it. But she looks at the kids and says, one of you is going to have a baby? Who? And then the kids go off on her. It's like, you kidnapped us out of the streets. We've not seen you for 2 years. You're working with monsters and killers. She says, I do it to protect people, to protect you. That's what a mother does. And then the girl goes off. Says,
that's what I think is pregnant.
Yeah, sir. I think she is. It says, no, you don't get to call yourself that. You haven't earned the right to say that in these last few years. You shut us out. Dad died. Demita died. Joe died. You never mentioned it. Not once. All you cared about was your job. You buried yourself because it was easier, because you're a coward. Everything else is an excuse, and you know it. So she turns to the boys, and they comfort her. And Waller's standing there and just says, you know what? Take them back. We need to put surveillance on them for the next 48 hours to make sure that they're fine. But take them back home.
Yeah.
And then the last thing she says is, I don't understand. This feels like losing, but I won. She protected her kids. Yeah. And she won.
And there's,
but it feels,
she
like
said,
she
I
lost.
Won. There's no one around her. She's just now in an empty warehouse.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of the better books I've seen, period, from The Suicide Squad, just because they really went in depth with Amanda Waller. It seems a little shocking to her that's like, wow, out of all this I've done, I don't have any happiness.
Yeah. All right, she's protecting everybody else's happiness, allowing them to be happy.
Yeah.
But what does she get out of it?
Nothing.
So.
But
that brings us to the last book that we're reviewing this week.
And this is another tie-in.
The Justice League of America Killer Frost Rebirth Number 1. This is also after the events of Justice League versus Suicide Squad.
Yep. And it's still at Belle Reve Penitentiary.
Oh, yeah.
Since this is Caitlin Snow's story, she's often saying, hey, I'm Caitlin Snow. I remember the days. But not today. Not today is exactly not who I am. She used to be somebody else, but she's trying now to become a hero and finally leaving Killer Frost behind. This is where you get Amanda Waller testing her, because Amanda Waller is such a mean lady.
Well, Waller thinks she's a killer. That's all she's ever going to be.
Yeah. Well, she says, you're not getting out of here. You're going to stay behind stay in this jail because you are a killer, Killer Frost. She says, no, I'm not one of your pawns anymore, Waller. She says, she's not so sure about that. Seems like some of your transfer paperwork got lost in the shuffle. Funny how things like that seem to happen. Such a shame. So, this is where you get to see Killer Frost and Amanda Waller are never going to be friends. you have these drills, not drill shards, you have these bodyguards and these security around Belle Reve, and Killer Frost is sitting by herself. They start messing with her and start picking on her. It says, what is this right here? We took you out of your old cell and gave you a new one. Now you're going to have to meet your new roommate. She's like, who the heck is my new roommate?
Yeah, it's she's always been in solitary so that she couldn't hurt anybody else.
Yeah, I'm trying to find this guy's name.
No, this isn't her roommate.
No, this is just a bully on the feet on the yard.
Let me look up his name while you're talking.
Should be right here. Martyr? I think Martyr's his name.
I was thinking Atomic Skull, but that's not Atomic Skull.
That's Martyr. Because they're telling, their name is. Now, Amanda Waller's setting all this up by this time in the book. You can definitely tell things are not supposed to be this way. She's going to be out of solitaire. She shouldn't have the guards coming up to her, talking to her like this. And since she feeds off heat, Martyr's basically nothing but a... he's like a lava lamp right now on his head, except there is a X, cross and bones on his head. So... if she at any point gets mad or he makes her mad, she can drain all of his life force and probably kill him, since it's really all he has. But she eventually walks away and says, I see your game, Waller. I'm not going to fall for him. I'll prove you wrong. So she does touch him now. She touches him. I just want to point this out. She's been getting touched by a lot of people in this facility, but she has not fed to take anybody's life force in a while. It's been days. So now they walk her back to her cell. Now here is her new roommate, Heatstroke. Once again, somebody that has heat powers that she could drain and she wouldn't have to worry about starving. So she says this is terrible. She's nearly empty and her just being right there in her presence is really teasing her. This is like you holding up a steak for someone that hasn't eaten 5 days. You know, it's really hard for them to say, no, I'm not hungry. So she's really trying to be friends with her, and they're really mingling very well. It's just that temptation's in the room. And then a couple hours, I would say, go by later. They let these other prison mates into their jail cell. And, like, he has another – I don't really – who is this guy with the sun on his chest?
I don't know.
Never seen this dude before. But I guess he says he can't get hurt by anything. You can get hurt at staring at the sun. She says, oh, really? As they're beginning to now, because since she doesn't want to hurt nobody, they begin to now pick with, is that Heat Wave? Not Heat Wave, I'm sorry. What is it?
Heat Stroke.
They're bullying her just for no reason. And now it's just like, hey, guys, get away from her. Get off of her. You're just being mean. It's like, oh, look at you, little traitor. You're weak now. You want to be a hero? You'll never survive in here being a hero. She says, well, it won't take much to take you guys down. She throws them all on the wall and freezes them up. But just by using that, she falls to the ground. And Heatstroke's telling the guards to get a doctor. Days went by. Amanda Waller's telling her, you forced me to do this. And you were out cold. Heatstroke found you like that. And if it weren't for her, you would have been dead. Luckily, she got the guards over there in time. She says, now, can't you see that this is killing you? You should just go back to your old ways. She says, and Killer Frost tells Amanda Waller, I won't fail. Then you get Amanda Waller saying, if you beat this hunger, you think this is all that's going to take? It's going to start to wear you down. I know you might, I know you might fool them, but you don't fool me. You're always going to be a monster. You're always going to get a killer. So Amanda Waller cannot get this out of her head that Killer Frost is ever going to be good. She'll be nothing but a murderer. And she's just screaming at her, and Killer Frost telling her, you're wrong. Batman, you see him come through the background saying, it's enough. You've lost. I'm taking her. So they remove the chip that was in her head, and she actually starts to look at the real daylight for once without worrying about ever getting her head blown up or going back to prison. And then Batman comes out and tells her, that's right, Caitlin. You've earned this. You've earned your freedom. You earned a seat at the Justice League. You saved the Justice League. Are you ready for what comes next? You're hungry, Caitlin. Is it under control? Now, remember, as I said, throughout this whole book, she's had contact with different people. She's been bumping into people. She's been getting a little bit of their life force each time she touches them, but she's never just does this to one person. It's all for everybody in that prison. So she's learned that you don't have to kill somebody just to take their life force. You just have to feed little and take from others when they won't even notice it.
Mm-hmm.
So she says, of course, Batman, I have it under control. And she says, there's no need for you to worry about me. I feel like I'm ready for anything. And next issue we get will be the first Justice League of America Rebirth issue number one.
And that actually comes out next week.
Yep. Oh, I can't wait for that.
Now, going back to the guy with the skull and crossbones in his head, that's actually a character called Mr. Toxic.
Mr. Toxic. Okay.
The other one was actually called The Sun and The Sun's Cronies, which is their first appearance. First time they've ever been anything.
Okay, so they're brand new.
But Mr. Toxic goes back. Let me see if I can find where his history is. Appeared as a low-level criminal at the Iceberg Casino, but later turned out to be an unstable clone of Hugh Martyr, requiring his special suit to keep him alive.
Ah, so that's why I call him Martyr.
Yes.
Okay.
So, yeah. Has seven appearances going back. This doesn't look like it's that old of a character, so.
Okay.
But, yeah, that's who that was. But so that wraps up, actually, Justice League Suicide Squad.
Man. Well, that's that.
That's been a fun trip.
It was a really fun trip. I enjoyed every book. I'm a big fan of Suicide Squad, and seeing them just interact with Justice League was priceless.
Mm-hmm. And, well, since that brings us to the end of our reviews, that means we've only got one place left to do.
Yep, we need to get some books.
Okay, and that was the Shazbots, who bring us the comic shop every week. Go check them out on iTunes and Facebook, and actually at their website, shazbots.com. Let them know that DC Superpower sent you. Well, they bring us to the comic shop, and this week we actually have 15 books on the pull list for this week.
Yeah, a good amount.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to go evens or odds?
I'll go evens.
Okay, well, that means I get to go first. And our first book this week is Action Comics 973. We're not that far from issue number 1,000.
Wow. Real, man, that's insane. This book has been going on for so long.
Well, good since 1938. Them. So, but Action Comics 973, Mild-Mannered Part 1. The Road to Superman Reborn starts here. With Superman and Lex Luthor back on Earth, the Man of Steel turns his attention to uncovering the mystery of the human Clark Kent living and working in Metropolis. But there's something off about this guy, and Superman better figure out what that is before it's too late. And the art is done by Art Thibbert, Steven Segovia, and Patrick Zercher, and is written by Dan Jurgens.
Okay. Well, next on our list, we have All-Star Batman issue number 7. This cover art cover art's pretty interesting. Definitely, yes. You know who's going to be the next villain. Poison Promises. Step aside, gentlemen. Poison Ivy is about to steal the spotlight in Batman's continuing rogue gallery road trip. Scott Snyder teams up with mega talent Tula Latte to reimagine the Dark Knight's most seductive villain. Now, when they say reimagine, I'm very interested in what new things are we going to see from them. Mm-hmm. Art done by Tula Latoy and written by Scott Snyder.
Okay. Next up, we move on to Batgirl and the Birds of Prey number 7, Valentine's Day Part 1. The new Oracle is now embedded in the Birds of Prey's lives, and they're going to have to make it work whether they like it or not. Plus, Huntress has decided to make Gotham her permanent home, but that means venturing into the most dangerous part of the world of all, the Gotham City real estate market. Perhaps an abandoned amusement park with a murder slide is up her alley. Art is done by Claire Rowe, and it's written by Shauna Benson and Julie Benson.
Hmm.
Sounds like one of the Joker's old hideouts.
Yeah, it does. Well, this isn't Detective Comics, so it's in the Batman world with Gotham. Actually, next one I'm reading, this is also going to be something tied into Batman, or in his universe, or in his world somewhere,
yeah.
One of his partners. Deathstroke issue number 12, Twilight Part 1. What happens when the world's deadliest assassin begins to go blind? A bold new tale begins here. After the Red Lion breaks Deathstroke out of prison and maneuvers Slade into a deadly encounter with the enigmatic thief known as Raptor, last seen on pages of Nightwing.
So we get to see Raptor come back.
Mm-hmm. Art done by Mark Morales, Joe Bennett, and written by Christopher Priest.
Okay, next up we got Detective Comics 950, The League of Shadows Prologue. Celebrate 950 issues of the original Batman series with this extra-sized extravaganza. Cassandra Cain has stayed out of the spotlight on Batman's team as she slowly comes to terms with the civilized world she was kept away from all of her life. But the time for her to step up is fast approaching. Will she ever learn how to fit in among the masses? Or will she always be more weapon than woman? Plus, a primer on the history of the League of Assassins, and an adventure with the team's newest recruit, Azrael, the Avenging Angel. Oh, this is going to be fantastic.
Oh, I love Azrael. I knew you. Yeah, when I read that last part, I was like, oh, yeah, this is going to be good.
Yeah, this is a 48-pager, so it is a bigger one.
Is that long?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That is going to be a... Wow. We've been wanting this. We've been talking about him for a while.
Yeah.
Coming back.
Well, the art is done by various artists and Marco Takara, and it's written by James Tinian IV. Yeah, Azrael, I'm all excited to see.
Yeah, I figured. I wonder how deep of a part he's going to play in this now.
Well, I think he's not going to take Batgirl or Batwoman's place, but he's going to at least fill that spot on the team roster. I don't know who's going to step up to be the leader.
Yeah, because it won't be Batwoman. As you said, maybe Tim Drake if he come back? I don't know.
Oh, Tim's coming back. I just don't know how soon.
Yeah, same here. Well, next we have another part of Batman's family, Red Hood and the Outlaws, issue number 7. How do you solve a problem like Bizarro? Now that Black Mask is defeated, Artemis continues her quest for the Bowl of Ra, a weapon of immense power. Meanwhile, Jason is dealing with his own immense power of its own, Bizarro. What's he done about such a vast, versatile creature? And is he too dangerous to keep alive? You know they're going to keep him alive. He's not going to hurt him. Although this cover is telling me different. Art done by Marco Kolak and written by Scott Lobdell. Yeah, this cover with him holding not just a regular gun, but like a kryptonite gun to the back of Bizarro's head.
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
So maybe someone will give him a weapon. Say, hey, if you kill him, you can. If not, it's up to you. But we'll see what happens there.
Okay. Next one's interesting because we have a Blue Lantern on the cover. You have Hal Jordan in the Green Lantern Corps, number 14. Quest for the Blue Lantern, part 1. Hal teams up with Kyle Rayner, the White Lantern, for a harrowing quest to bring hope back to the cosmos. Tasked with finding the Blue Lantern Corps and restoring it to full power, the two quickly find neither may have the power to accomplish this mission. Art is done by Jordi Tarragona and Rafa Sandoval, and it's written by Robert Venditti. That's another one I'm all excited because we get to see more Kyle Rayner.
Yeah, same here. Anytime you get more of him,
it's
just good. Oh, wait a minute. I think I have something a little off here.
You jumped out of order, but that's fine. Go to number 7.
I did. Okay, New Superman. There we go. New Superman issue number 8, Training Day, part 2. The Academy of the Bat descends into chaos, and the Chinese Joker, Grass Mud Horse...
Well,
it makes me laugh like every time I read that, is to blame as the new Batman of China defends his cowl against a horde of challengers. Wonder Woman also is in battle with a new villain to standstill. Wonder who that could be. This sounds like a job for a new Superman, Kenan Kong, master his abilities and training with Ai Chang in the time of his. Is he in time to help his friends? Art done by Billy Tan, written by Gene Luen Wang.
This has actually been a fun little series.
And hearing that we got a Joker over there, yeah. Batman's fighting, I wonder how bad is Wonder Woman's villain.
Well, no, that they're talking about Wonder Woman battles the same villain. She's battling Joker also. Grass Mud Horse.
Well, okay.
So, but next up, we get Supergirl number 6, Reign of the Cyborg Superman finale. Argo City is on a collision course with Earth, and the Girl of Steel is the only hero that can stop it. Cyborg Superman and Kara Zor-El clash in this cataclysmic final battle that leaves only one standing. Art by Brian Ching, and it's written by Steve Orlando.
Sweet. Well, next on our list, we have The Flash, issue number 16. And that's climbing up there pretty good, too, faster than I thought. But it is The Flash, for all we know. The Rogues Reloaded, part 3. Dragged in a wild goose chase all over the world, the Flash tracks the Rogues to their next target, the people of Central City. But is even Barry Allen fast enough to solve five diabolical crimes at the same time? Find out. Art by Carmine Dean Giamingo and written by Joshua Williams.
Okay. Next up, we have The Titans, number 8, Made in Manhattan, part 1. As Wally West and the Titans adjust to their new lives in New York City and investigate a mysterious new threat, Karen and Mal Duncan visit Meta Solutions to discuss their future. But the meeting takes an unexpected turn when Mal delivers a shocking revelation and Karen is faced with a difficult choice. Art by Norm Rapmond and Brett Booth and is written by Dan Abnett. So we're going to get more of Harold and Bumblebee.
Good. I wonder if they might become a part of the Titans team, or at least whenever
probably.
They need them.
Yeah, since they're in here so much already, they probably will be.
Next, we have Wonder Woman, issue number 16, another 16 issue. I guess I wasn't paying attention how far these things are climbing up.
Well, they're coming out every 2 weeks.
True. It's been going by so fast. It's all been good, so. God Watch Part 1. Since the moment Wonder Woman arrived in our world, God Watch has been waiting. But who are they, and what do they want? Diana's journey to the truth continues with the origin of what may prove to be her greatest enemy. Art done by Belquise Ivy and written by Greg Rucka.
Okay, we got 3 left on the list. Next one up is Superwoman number 7. Who Killed Superwoman? Finale. The battle between Ultrawoman and Superwoman proves too much for either to bear. As Lena Luthor's team of As Lena Luthor's dream of surpassing her brother Lex and asserting total domination over Gotham starts to vanish before her eyes, only one solution remains. Make sure Superwoman dies for good this time. And don't skip to this issue's shocking ending. So that means read it. Don't flip to the ending first. Read it all the way through, straight through to start with.
Yeah, don't spoil nothing for yourself.
Exactly.
Don't do that to yourself.
Art by Jack Herbert and Phil Jimenez. And it's written by Phil Jimenez.
And next, this is a book I've been waiting for since we've seen that picture months ago.
Oh, yeah.
Justice League versus... I'm sorry. I'm still stuck on it.
Exactly.
Justice League of America Rebirth, issue number 1. Batman, Black Canary, Killer Frost, The Ray, Vixen, The Atom, and Lobo. Spinning directly out of the events of Justice League versus Suicide Squad, join a sensational team of writers Steve Orlando and artists Ivan Reese and Joe Pardew, and discover how Batman assembles the roughest, toughest Justice League of all time. Art done by Joe Pardew, Ivan Reese, and written by Steve Orlando.
And the last one
we got...
I
can't wait for this. Now, this is a different cover than what we got months ago as a preview.
Yeah.
Or this could be a variant, or that could be a variant. Honestly, I might pick up both of these, but different cover, same characters on there, and we can't wait. This is definitely going to be an odd bunch of Justice Leaguers.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see, like we've speculated before, is Batman going to stay with the regular Justice League, or is he going to just be on this, or how is this going? Because he's already in 3 different books right now, or 4 different books.
I'm kind of hoping he does leave the team so we can get some other members on the Justice League to fill in that spot.
Maybe a green shapeshifter?
I'm hoping he is a detective, right?
Uh-huh. Well, we have Suicide Squad number 11 as the last book for this week. Burning Down the House Part 1. Spinning directly out of the events of Justice League versus Suicide Squad, hidden somewhere within, deep within, the world is a burning flame. Or wait, let me do that different. Hidden somewhere deep within the world is a burning flame. Its light is blinding, its heat is deadly, it's a fire fueled by hatred, by rage, by vengeance. Used, abused, and left for dead, the greatest foe the Suicide Squad has ever faced returns. More powerful than ever, to burn down the world Amanda Waller has given everything to protect. Art by Riley Rossimo and written by Rob Williams.
Who the heck could this be?
I was going to say, who's the villain that would be able to do that? You're the Suicide Squad guy.
Yeah, but as many villains that they've got in there, I have no idea who this could be.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So
we'll find out.
So it's going to be a heavy week for comics next week.
Oh, yeah. I didn't think I was going to have to get this many books, but I got to get most of these.
Uh-huh. I think I got... There's 15 on the list. I think I figured at least 10 of them I need to pick up.
I think I at least need about... I'm on 5 right now, and it keeps going up.
Yeah.
So, it's comics. We like them.
Exactly. I don't need to eat.
I'll make food.
That's right. So, Super Friends, thanks for hanging out with us. Vernon, why don't you let everybody know where they can get a hold of us?
Guys, you can find us on our Twitter page at SuperpowersDC, and on our Facebook and our Instagram, it will be DC Superpowers Podcast. You can find me on my personal Instagram, Howlin' That Wolf, Facebook, Vernon McWayne Moore, and my Twitter, Biella. And my partner, you can find him on his social media at...
On Facebook, I'm Ken Rose. On Instagram and Twitter, I'm GW1Ken. Also, you can find the DC Superpowers Podcast on the podcast networks of the Tangent Bound Network and the Weeby Geeks Network. And also, you can always send us an email at DCSuperpowersPodcast@gmail.com. Also, if you get a chance, and if you like what you're hearing here, head on over to iTunes and leave us a review. We're looking for as many reviews as we can get. The more reviews we get, it makes it easier for other people to find our show. So, also, we're going to probably be putting up a survey coming up in the next week or so to see what do you guys like about our show. Do you want us to do more of something, a little less of something? Should we be doing shows live so we can have a live chat room running and you guys can listen while we're recording live? Let us know. We're going to put up probably a Twitter poll there. So, and we know we have a lot of new followers on Twitter this week. Thank you, guys. Anybody who this is their first show, welcome. Hope you liked it. Let us know. And then, Vernon, do you have anything else?
Yeah, I'll say even on the... if we do a live feed again, if we find out from Twitter, if you guys are on Twitter, you can tweet us while we're still recording. Let us know, chat with us. We got to interact with you guys.
Exactly. We'd love to interact with listeners. So with that, I think it's about time to say goodnight, Vernon.
It is. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Sweet dreams.
Yep. And thank you, Vernon. And Super Friends, thank you, and we'll see you next
Always
week.
Always a pleasure. Thank you, guys.
You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.